Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Awesome. Let's pray. Spirit of a living God, we thank you because you are the leader. Thank you because you love every single person who is here. Thank you because you've got great intent for young and old. You've got great intent and great desire and great passion for those who are full on and have got their hearts fully surrendered, and those who are completely backslidden. You love beyond our failures. So we thank you for your commitment. We thank you for your redemption. We thank you that you are here because you are mighty to save. We thank you for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thank you for restoration, strength, healing, and the presence of the Holy Ghost on every single one of your people. We commit the next few minutes to your presence, Holy Spirit. We ask you, speak louder than our mind, we pray. Speak deeper than our thinking. Deposit only what you can deposit. Turn around paradigms. Cause our lives to follow close behind you. I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that our greatest addiction would be your presence. That our chief delight, our chief desire would be the presence of Messiah Jesus. We love you, we honor you, and we ask you to have your way in the glorious and acceptable name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you were here a few weeks ago, we kind of like started a thought toward the end of October around kingdom upon us. Just do me a favor, so I'm not kind of like repeating myself. If you were here maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago when I preached on kingdom upon us, could you just kind of like give me a wave? So I can just see, okay, that's 60% of us, that's good. Okay, I really want to start our journey of recalibrating some stuff with this whole thought of kingdom. And I'm just going to revisit a couple of principles that we spoke about back then, just simply because we're going to build on that foundation. We discussed what the kingdom of God is. We showed through scripture, the entire book of Matthew, if you track it, that the single message of Jesus Christ was the kingdom of God. When Jesus preached, he didn't preach a lot of things. As a matter of fact, if you track it, he preached one thing. He preached the kingdom of God. Over and over and over. We went through a journey, book of Matthew chapter 3, chapter 4, 5 to 7, chapter 9, we went to 13, and on the journey went, just seeing that Jesus had one message. Jesus did not preach on healing. Jesus healed the sick, but never preached on healing. Jesus did not preach on the resurrection, but he rose from the dead, but he preached kingdom. He had one message. As a matter of fact, we followed it in the book of Acts, and we saw that there is one message that even the disciples in the book of Acts, it was constantly the kingdom of God, over and over. Now, fast forward to our day, 2022, and here we are, and in the Western world especially, the kingdom of God is a mystical fog. What is it? So we had a little bit of a navigation around what the kingdom of God is, because here's the truth. We need to know the Lord has never instituted a religion. From the beginning of time till this day, God has never instituted a religion. Worship is part of something that happens in the kingdom. But God never instituted a religion. Right from the beginning, as we'll see, the Lord instituted a kingdom, and right till this day, there is a kingdom. And unless we can transition our paradigm and go back to the source that we are kingdom people, and what does that mean? As a matter of fact, most things in our life will not be according to God order, because right at the source, which is kingdom, we've got it all wrong. So today I want to take us on this little bit of a journey around kingdom prayer. kingdom prayer. You know, there's religious prayer and there's kingdom prayer. There's prayer that does nothing. I promise you, lots of people pray for a long time and it does nothing. It doesn't cause any fruitfulness, but it causes frustration. Because it's not kingdom prayer. They're like, Lord, I pray so much, I ask for so much, etc. And it's all valid, but they're so disappointed. Do you know the human spirit is not made for disappointment and failure when it comes to prayer? We're not designed that way. We're not designed for a constant hit and miss in prayer. We're praying and praying and praying and nothing's happening. You know, it's a little bit like a vending machine. I don't know if you've ever gone to a vending machine and put some coins in and the product didn't come out. Anybody? I'd lose my Christianity with stuff like that. For real. I genuinely do. I turn into another man. The Spirit of God leaves me and I begin kicking the thing and I begin... And it's like $2, but it's not the point. The point is the principle. If I put in the $2, I want my product. You know what I'm saying? Anybody with me or am I the only one in the flesh, right? I shake the thing. I'm like, you know, I'm having convulsions. And it's like, calm down, pastor. It's $2. But, you know, prayer can be a little bit like that. You put in your prayer coins. Nothing comes out. And we're all upset. We're all uptight with God. We're all disappointed. But that's right. You know why? Because we're not designed that way. Life of prayer is not designed that way. So there's got to be something kind of like fundamentally not aligned. And that's where we want to go today. We want to go today because we need to recognize everyone prays. You know, Muslims pray. You know that Buddhists pray. You know that Jews pray. You know that kings pray. You know that prime ministers pray. Everyone prays. But prayer is not meant to be a thing that frustrates the life out of you. Prayer is meant to be a thing that ushers the kingdom of God in and through your life. And we want to go there today. I'd love for you to open up with me to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Book of Luke, chapter 11, starting at verse 1. It came to pass, this is when Jesus was praying. As he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. I just want to pause there. Keep it up there for me for a minute. Now, the disciples, when they saw Jesus pray, they were like, hang on a minute. This is time that we ask you the one request that we have. They've never asked him, Lord, show us how to do a miracle. They didn't say, please hold a Saturday workshop on how to raise the dead. They haven't asked, Lord, how do we walk on water, or how do we multiply bread, or Lord, how do we do all of that? They didn't ask any of that. They asked him one thing, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they observed something that was so different when Jesus prayed than they saw anyone else pray. Jesus was the first to demonstrate what we're going to talk about, which is kingdom prayer. And can I stop us even just there before we read on? I want to tell us this. You know, growing old in the Lord and growing up in the Lord is not the same thing. I could be 30 years in the Lord. 30 years. And without condemnation, what that could look like is 1 year 30 times over. That doesn't mean that just because I've been 30 years in the Lord that I have revelation and truth. The only way to grow up in the Lord and not grow old in the Lord is grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. There must be revelation. So even though they had prayed, do you think the followers of Jesus hadn't prayed? They were men of prayer. Jewish people grow up in a spirit of prayer. They're praying all the time. David says 7 times a day, I have praised you. They grow up, they've got the hours of prayer. Where they go to the temple and pray, they're people of prayer. But you know what they realized? They realized that when Jesus prayed, that was different. That was kingdom prayer. And they said, Lord, Lord, we want to unlearn so that we can learn. Lord, would you teach us to pray? Because, Lord, here's what we see. We see that the time that you spend with God is literally the epicenter of all of your deeds. The hours that you spend with God make the minutes that you spend with man so effective. But we see something so different about you that we don't understand. We don't understand how you're so intimate with the Father, yet you're so strong with the enemies. We don't understand your success rate in prayer. Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus and he was like, Father, I thank you, for you have heard me and you always hear me. They were like, we haven't heard you pray anything that doesn't come to pass. How does this work? Huh? Hello? Could we step into that? Could we actually humbly today, Spirit of a living God, take me on a journey where I learn what it is, kingdom prayer. Not just, I might have to unlearn some stuff. That's okay. But I'd rather that than the frustration of putting in my prayer coins and nothing in return. So, teach us to pray. He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I want to let us know right at the outset, because we're going to go on a journey. To be honest, I'm not even sure where we're going to exactly land today. We'll stay on this as God wants us to stay on it. I don't have a plan for when this ends. It ends whenever the Lord says it will end. Here's the thing about kingdom prayer that we begin to see. And I'm not going to take us through the whole prayer of the Our Father, but I want to draw our attention to certain things. The first thing that Jesus says to the disciples, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. Can I ask you to take some notes? Is that all right? Take some notes, because it's not about here. It's about how we continue the journey of unpacking this between us and the Holy Spirit during the week. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Do you know, just in those few words, Jesus gave the entire premise of prayer and structure of prayer, just in those two words. Our Father in heaven. He begins with our Father. Now, you know, to us, sitting here kind of like 2022 in Australia, that's sweet, that's kind, you know, like, oh, that's lovely. We can relate to God as Father. That's good. That's good. But do you know, to a Jewish person, that was a whole other paradigm. Here's what I mean by that. The Jews knew full well that there was something in relationships known as the Bereth Covenant. It was a family covenant. When you wanted to be like someone's father and someone's sibling or someone's kin, you could actually do that through the entrance of something called a Bereth Covenant. It's actually throughout all of Scripture. The Bereth Covenant had about four things that were really distinctive. Actually, I'm going to get somebody to help me. Siong Lee, could you come up here, my brother? So if we wanted to be brothers, here's how this thing would work. We could, you know, you go, okay, he's handsome, he's rich, I want to be his brother, right? Right? So I just want to be your brother. But we would enter into something known as the Bereth Covenant. The first thing that we would do as Jewish men, we would do this. I'll take off my jacket. Could you put it on? Sweaty a bit, but should be right. Actually, it looks better on you than it does on me. It's just so wrong. Anyway, I spent all that money. We would do this. I take off my jacket, give it to Siong Lee. Siong Lee would take off his jacket and give it to me. And it would signify this. It would signify everything that I own, everything that I am, my even identity I bestow to you, and it would be reciprocated. The next bit I'm not going to do, but I'm going to tell you about it, right? The second thing that they would do, that's why, by the way, that when the prodigal son came back, the father said, bring out the best robe and put it on him, right? Okay? The second thing that they would do is that they would take off their belt. Oh, you do that now. All right, you take off your belt. I've given you my jacket, you give me your belt. And if your pants fall off, you take photos. That's awesome, bro. That's a really nice belt. I'll keep it. They would take off their belt. Now, I'm not going to really got to put a... You're very skinny. And they would do this, right? We would exchange belts. Because here's what would happen with the belts. The belts is where they would hang kind of like their knives and their swords, which meant this: every weapon that I have, now I'm going to use to protect you. Every available weapon. That's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God, because they're God's weapons that He's given us. They're not to be mucked around with. They're God's weapons, right? So they would swap what held up their weapons, saying that I'm going to use all of my power in order to protect you. The third thing that they would do, we see this kind of like with Abraham, they would get an animal, they would cut the animal in half, and they would split one side to the other, and they would literally walk with each other, or one behind the other, through the split animal from one side to the other side, which meant this, that as long as life endured, we are in this covenant. There is no point in time where you're going to forsake me or I'm going to forsake you from this bearer's covenant. We see that, by the way, in the book of Genesis. You'll see it in the book of Genesis 18 between God and Abraham. They split an animal and they walk through it. That's the bearer's covenant. It means unending covenant. That's why the writer of the Hebrews talks about the blood of the everlasting covenant, beareth. Beareth. Between one and the other. So we swap jackets, we swap belts, we walk through an animal. Now the last bit, I love this, in the Beareth covenant. The last bit, they would do an incision on the hand because it was a blood covenant. Well, we're not going to do it, but because of COVID. but they would literally kind of like have an incision on the hand, and they would literally exchange blood. Book of Isaiah, chapter 49 and verse 16, the Lord says, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. Literally an incision. As a matter of fact, the incision on the cross was Beareth. Hello? Where they exchange of blood. Thank you, mate. I'll give you a belt back. Give me my jacket back. Yes, please. I want my jacket back. Thank you so much, Siong Lee. Could we thank Siong Lee? Now, here's the point. What are we saying when we say that the Lord began kind of like our father, with the understanding of the Jewish people getting that there's a Beareth covenant? What He was saying to them, hey, when you pray, just remember this. You're not trying to persuade somebody who's not for you. You're not trying to twist the arm or manipulate somebody who's not going to do you good. You're literally now in a covenant. If you are born again, you are in a covenant where everything that God's identity is, He gives to you. That everything that God's power is for you. So if God is for us, who could be against us? Everything, every single thing that the Lord has is available. Now, I want us to know that everything that is in heaven can be released in and through a believer's life through prayer. Everything. God does not give the Spirit by measure. God does not give the anointing by measure. God gives no gifts by measure. Everything that God owns is actually available to every single believer, because you and I, my friend, are in a Beareth covenant. Our Father. When we pray, we need to be of the mindset, you're not stepping into somebody who's judging you. You're not stepping into somebody who's doing a performance appraisal as to whether you deserve the reward and an answer to your prayer. You are stepping in to the one who has chosen an unending covenant to Beareth. That's a premise. But listen to what the Lord says. He says, our Father in heaven. Now, I've got a problem with that. Anybody else have a problem with that? Give me a wave if you've got a problem with that. This whole in heaven business. No one has a problem, just me. I got a problem with it because God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. David says in Psalm 139, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Why is it that Jesus teaches our Father in heaven? Why have you localized him? Since when is God limited to a geography? Now we come to the serious business of prayer. And if we don't get through anything else today, let's start making progress here because this is the difference. Now, if we ask Jesus, why on earth are you localizing the presence of God in prayer to heaven? Because that is the entire premise of the prayer structure. That is the entire reason why there is such a thing as prayer. What are we talking about? Here's what we're talking about. When God created you and I, God made the earth for men and women, for mankind. The delegation, your delegation and my delegation, is planet Earth. So that's why Psalm 115 and verse 16 says that the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but earth he has given to man. Come with me to the book of Genesis. Open up with me, book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Have a look at this. Book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. I'm just going to stop there for a sec. Just a bit of a side note. Notice that we are made in the image of God and then we can have dominion. Notice that? It's image first, it's identity first, then it's authority second. You know what we try to do? Sometimes we try to work it outside in rather than inside out. Rather than actually knowing who I am in Christ and living that out, I try to acquire things, I try to acquire possession, I try to acquire status so I can have authority. First is the image, then there's the dominion. Dominion is a sphere of influence. He says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. And then he lists the dominion. But I want you to note two very important words. He says, let them. Notice that? God did not say, let us. Oh, now we're challenging you. Come on, let's go scripture. God did not say, let us. He said, let them. That means their delegation is everything on planet Earth. That's why when he taught us to pray, we're the conduits, we're the ones that say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because earth is the sphere given to mankind. You and I are the executors of heaven. We are the prime movers of the will of God on earth. If mankind will not do certain things, they will not happen. If believers do not do certain things, they will not happen. Do you know sometimes we look around us and we curse things rather than pray kingdom order into those things? But what God's called you and I to do is to discern the will of the Father and pray the will of the Father. When you pray the will of the Father, kingdom order over certain demonic disorders on earth, things come back into alignment. The power of heaven gets unleashed. Do you know why a lot of our prayers don't get answered? A lot of our prayers don't get answered because, like James says, you pray and do not receive because you ask amiss. That means off target. Let me ask you this. If the Lord answered your current prayers, would earth be a better earth according to kingdom order, or would you just have a better life? Take stock of your prayer. Are we praying to a genie in a bottle to make me happy? For my satisfaction? Therefore, I'm using God instead of being God's conduit on earth. You see, that's the difference between religion and kingdom. religion will use God for personal satisfaction. That's why you have a rich young ruler that can say to Jesus, what must I do in order to have? It's all about me, my goals. So if prayer becomes about me, my goals, my desires, my passions, prayer is off target. That's why we need to nip it at the source. The source is God has designed prayer for His will to be done in your life and on earth. And if you and I can pray according to the will of the Father, what's in the Father's heart on earth, it comes to pass. That's why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we're going to come to that in a minute. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That's the nature of prayer. The nature of prayer is that God wants to let you in on His eternal agenda. His agenda for your life, His agenda for your family, His agenda for this city, His agenda for your destiny. It's His agenda. And if we can come into agreement with that agenda and pray that agenda, things begin to happen. I want you to know God respects the domain, the sphere that's been delegated to you. God will not do certain things in your life and in this city unless we pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14, the church loves it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right? All good? Did you hear the order? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, if my people, then I will. Who comes first? When the Lord wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, He didn't just go ahead and destroy it. Even though He's the God of all heaven and all earth, He said, how can I do this thing unless first I speak to my servant Abraham? Why? Because that's His delegated sphere. Do you know John Wesley, who's a great theologian, says, without God, man cannot, but without man, God will not. There's certain things that are out of order in our city, in our families, in our lives, not because God is indifferent, but because we're not praying. And God is calling us back to be kingdom people, kingdom prayer, bringing kingdom order, both within and without. There is no such thing as praying according to the will of God and the Lord will not hear you. You don't have to persuade God. I don't have to persuade God. He's already persuaded. He's already for you. He's already for me. Sometimes I don't need to change God's mind. I just need to change my prayer. I need to listen before I speak. We jump into prayer too quick. You know what we've learned about prayer? You get up and you say a few words to God. You give Him your shopping list. That's not how it works. In future weeks, we'll be looking at how prayer, you must hear first before you speak. What's on God's heart? What does God want for that situation that you're praying into? Are you sure that your will is the same as the Father's? Or do you need to listen to what the Father's will may be? Because maybe through prayer, God is not changing the situation, but maybe He's changing me. Kingdom prayer, which is the last thing that I want to say to us today. I can't see us finishing this for a few more weeks, but kingdom prayer. You might say, well, okay, how would I know what God's will is? Like, how could I know? How could I know what to pray for? How do I know God's will? Well, open up to 1 John chapter 5, 1 Epistle of John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, anything, according to His will, He hears us. And we know that we have the petitions that we asked of Him. God has guaranteed that if we ask anything according to His will. Now you might say that's really controlling. Yes, it is. You know why? Because God's will is good. Outside of God's will is harm. So you're right. He doesn't want to do your life harm. You're right. He doesn't want to give you or give me what is my short-sighted prayer. He wants to give me what is good. So He will not answer prayer that will harm me. If we pray anything according to God's will, how do I know God's will? Well, here's the thing. I want you to know that God's word is God's will documented. That's all this is. This is literally just God's will documented. For how we are to arrange our thinking, how to we arrange our finances, how we are to arrange relationships, how I am to regulate my emotions, what I am to live for, etc. God's will is documented in this book. It's a good place to start learning God's will. Do you know, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That means if the word of God is alive in you, you will begin to learn, I will begin to learn how to pray prayers that are according to the will of God, that are not off target. The Spirit of God will bring to your remembrance everything that the word of Jesus has taught you. Have you noticed that the Holy Spirit reminds us of things? You're standing in prayer and then he'll remind you of something. Now, here's the thing. If the Holy Spirit comes and I'm praying and all I've got in my library is Psalm 23, he doesn't have much to work with. I've noticed that effective kingdom prayer belongs to those who ingest the Word of God. So this is the beginning of a conversation. I reckon I'm on page, first paragraph of my notes today. And I don't care how long we take through this because it's actually life-changing. Kingdom prayer is life-changing because we begin to experience the fullness of the presence of God. We begin to see the unleashing of heaven in our worlds. We begin, it's not just about kind of like cute Christianity. You know, that comes to a service on a particular time of week or whatever it is, it becomes about hosting the presence of God. You and I become conduits filled with the Spirit of God. You and I become what God wants us to be, which is an absolute powerhouse. That the kingdom of God, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, that the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you know God wants to destroy the works of the devil through you? God wants to establish his eternal kingdom through you. God wants to bring right order to our city, to our families, to our communities through your life. Worship team, if you can join me. So here's what I want to commit to us. I want to commit to us a couple of practical things. Because you know, the Word of God is never infotainment. It's never about additional information. Truth is much more than that. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you create, set, freedom. You know, starting this week, Tuesday, all of the staff at Newmar East, every week on Tuesday, from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, we're just going to be spending 3 hours in prayer at Joseph Street. I want to extend the invitation to everyone here. You don't have to be there for the full 3 hours. And I know obviously so many of us work and it may not work. That's totally fine. That's totally fine. But if it works for you, whether regularly or whether one time, if it works for you even for an hour, come join us. Come join us. We're starting this week because we believe. We believe with all of our heart, prayer changes everything. That's why as a church, prayer fuels power. We believe it. We believe that everything is going to change in our families in the mighty name of Jesus through prayer. As we, church, pray, you watch this city change. We're not those who will live by sight. We will live by faith. You watch angelic dispensations. You watch the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You watch the gifts of the Spirit awaken the church again and again and again and again and again. When? We'll pray. We'll pray. Because it's not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is about to awaken us to a whole new level. All of us, me first, all of us. Because God can. The presence of God falls on dead bones and then they become a very great army. That's how that works, through prayer. And next year, there'll be more prayer containers and prayer forums. Why? You watch the Church of Jesus take the land as His people pray. Watch. Watch the glory of God manifest in our midst as we pray. Watch. I want every single one of us to be a part of that. If you can, come join us. If you can't, totally understand. Whenever you get the opportunity, and like I said, next year, we'll be having a little bit more of that.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.